HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio. I am Richard Cohn. I'm the publisher of Beyond Words, and I'm the host for today's broadcast. I have the pleasure of introducing you today to Penelope Smith. Penelope is considered the world's leading teacher of basic and advanced interspecies telepathic communication, and has helped advance the careers of numerous professionals and animal communicators all over the world. I have had the pleasure of taking a basic animal communication class with Penelope. I've actually had the opportunity to speak with a goose who was brilliant. And I am sure, Penelope, our listeners would love to know how you first got started communicating with animals. Can you take us back to when it first started for you?
Yes. I was a child. I've always been aware of communicating with animals. There never was a time when I did not communicate with animals. And I, unlike most humans, who, when they are socialized to speak verbally and also told that it's their imagination if they say what animals are communicating, I refused to listen to anybody invalidating it. The animals were my friends. I communicated with them. So when my mother told me it was all my imagination and the kids made fun of me, I just learned to keep quiet about it. So I would continue communicating with the dogs, the snakes, the birds, the trees, all of life around me. But it was my secret because I realized that it was unacceptable to other people. So I was able to keep the ability. I never knew when I was a child that I was going to make it a profession, but it sort of came along naturally. It just kind of evolved into from my spiritual counseling practice and my desire to enlighten people and help them to remember who they are, that the animal communication just kind of worked its way in there and turned out to be an excellent way for people to wake up by listening to animals, by opening to their own ability to get animals' thoughts and feelings and feel that heart-to-heart connection. People became more enlightened. So it was something that, again, when people lose it, then they have to regain it. So they have to kind of learn how to get out of the way all the suppressions and analytical confusions that have layered over it and open up to an intuitive ability. A telepathic ability is intuitive.
The telepathic side, when you're speaking of telepathic communication, can you share with our listeners what that is like for them and for you?
Yes. The telepathy is something that is innate to us. We actually communicate telepathically all the time, even though we don't know it because we're not socialized to name it that. People get other people's thoughts behind their words and feelings behind their words. They feel the energy of the feelings and often get the thoughts, even if people's words are saying something else. If people only pay attention to the words, as we are taught to do, then they miss out on a lot of the communication that's going on. So with animals, it's straightforward. They speak different languages. Animals have their own languages. They have their own ways of communicating to each other as species. But the universal language or universal way mode of communication is through thoughts and feelings. So telepathy means communicating feeling across a distance. So tele is the distance and pathy is feeling. So animals don't get socialized out of it. They always communicate telepathically along with all their sounds and their other ways of communicating. They always communicate with intentions, feelings, and thoughts. So when we receive, a common way people will receive, and again, once they start recognizing that they're receiving and how they're receiving, then they can start developing the ability. But it's shut down in with a lot of people in our society. So how it often starts for people, they suddenly get this feeling that they have to run out to the barn. Somebody's in danger. And they run out, and sure enough, a horse is caught underneath the bar of its stall. And the horse was projecting, not making any sounds that the person could hear from the distance that they were at, but projecting the feelings of, I need help, and the thoughts, I need help, a danger, danger, I'm hurting, please come and help me. And so the person got that as a feeling, I just have to get out to the barn. And then they realize, oh, I was getting it from the horse, and they help the horse up, and everything's fine. So these kind of things happen, or suddenly someone will be walking down the street, and they have this urge to turn around. They feel like someone is looking at them, and they turn around, and there's a squirrel sitting on a park bench staring right at them. And if they wait a little bit longer, they'll get what the squirrel is wanting, what they're trying to communicate. And it may come across as a feeling, like a friendly feeling, and the squirrel may give them an image of what they've just been doing, something like it may come across to people as images. It depends on which of your internal sense channels or telepathic channels are open. So you may get images that the squirrel is wanting to show you how he is burying his nuts, and do you have any more nuts that he can bury? And so they give you that question, and so then the person can get engaged with it. But oftentimes people will limit their telepathic ability. They'll just try to figure it out. So with their heads, you know, they'll go, well, let's see, it's a squirrel there, so he probably wants nuts. But there's much more to it than that. The squirrel may want nuts, but he also wanted to show you how he is storing them for the winter and kind of share with you. He's become friends with people in the park, and he thought you looked like a friendly person and felt like a friendly person. And so you initially got that feeling. You have to turn around, and sure enough, he's staring at you. He's pouring out an energy to you that you're picking up. You're getting it as an intention, a strong intention, as a feeling, and you interpret it, I just got to turn around, there's something behind me, and sure enough, there it is. So that's how it kind of starts out with people. They get bits and pieces, and then as they read my book, say they read Animal Talk or they take a basic course, they start to realize the different ways that they received it in the past, and then they can develop it. So the telepathic ability is, I call it extended senses or internal senses. So the physical senses we have, visual, smelling, tasting, touching, and all these things can be also telepathic. So we can get what the animal is feeling, what they're seeing, what they're smelling, what they're touching, what they're tasting. All the different hearing, what they're hearing, all these different senses that we have, and we can get it internally. So that's how it starts for people. They get a little bit of something, and it really requires the recognition and acknowledgement to develop it further. So people have to say yes to it. They have to go, yeah, I did receive that from the squirrel. I did feel the squirrel wanting me to turn around. And so then it develops from there.
So is it with a number of people, I'm sure that when they're starting and trying to do this, that maybe they think they're making it up, even though the animal is actually communicating with them?
Right. Right. And this is how you tell the difference. Now, with beginners, they often don't know the difference between their own thoughts and the animal's thoughts. And they're used to sort of thinking in streams of consciousness, that humans often jump from one thought to the next thought to the next thought. So with the training, people learn how to get quieter and sort of put their own mind aside and really open and listen to the animal, focus on them and listen to them. Now, these examples I gave show that people can receive even when they're not paying attention, even when they're doing something else. If it's a strong message, like the horse who was caught in the barn and the squirrel who wanted the person to turn around and talk to them. So people can receive, but if you are learning how to sit and be quiet and focus, then you also learn how to just calm your own mind down and be present for the animal. And when you're present for them, and then you have to learn how to open and to receive. So that's, again, another thing in our society, that people are conditioned to be very busy and to project a lot. So their thoughts often get in the way of reception, of especially of this nature, of meditative telepathic reception. So they need to learn how to be receptive and then to allow, say they ask the animal a question. So they ask the dog, well, what did you do all day while I was gone at work? And now you need to be open to what the animal is saying. Instead of just staring at them and sort of putting a wall there, it's like putting a glass shield or something in front of the animal. No, you just get real soft. Feel your feet on the ground. Sit back and open your heart, open your mind, and the animal will answer you. And again, which of the internal telepathic senses are more open to you? Some people may receive thoughts. So they get the animal's thoughts and intentions, and they instantly translate it into words, because that's how we are used to communicating. So they get the animal saying, well, it was a quiet day, except when the UPS delivery person came to the door, and that was very exciting, and I barked a whole lot. So they may get it as thoughts, and they translate it into words. Often people get those thoughts. They get images, too. So you actually see the dog. You get images of the dog, mental images of the dog going to the door and jumping up and down and barking at the delivery person, person leaving the box, and the dog quieting down again. People may get images, or they may get a sense of knowing. Some people are tuned into the knowing. They just know as they're listening to the animal, they just get it. What I recommend to people to be able to tell the difference is, if you allow yourself to become the animal, and I have exercises in my book, Animal Talk, and in other publications where you learn how to drop your own perspective and unite with the animal and feel what they feel, smell what they smell, hear what they hear, and then you can clearly differentiate, because it's very different than your own thinking, than your own smelling, than your own hearing. So people start to be able to differentiate. They go, oh, wow, I would never think like that. I would never have images like that. I would never hear like that. You know, I don't hear all those sounds, you know, and because they're really uniting with the dog and getting the animal's senses, which are more acute in the hearing and smelling department. So then the test really is, when you really get what the animal is communicating and acknowledge that, you say, wow, I got that. This is what I got, you tell the dog. And the animals feel very satisfied. They're more cooperative with you. They're happy. When you are projecting your own thoughts and you start to think, well, maybe he did this, maybe he did this, or I kind of know, well, this is what he does during the day, he plays with the cat, blah, blah, blah. When you do your own thinking thing, you're actually shutting off the animal, and they get agitated. They get pissed off with you. They might walk out of the room, or they just go, they give a big sigh and go, oh, ho-hum. But you see them, they're not happier. So animals, they visibly show when they get things. They'll come up to you. Their eyes will be sparkling. They're more cooperative. And they show you, and particularly in consultations, in animal communication consultations where you're asked to help with a problem, the problems get solved. So when you really get what's going on with the animal and you listen to their take on it and also their suggestions for the solution and you take into account their viewpoints, then they get happier. They get cooperative. Things change. The problems disappear. Animal communicators all over can report these things. And that's when it's genuine. I mean, in my own life, I have these kind of things where, like the other day, my little dog, he's a long-haired chihuahua, and he's a rescue, and I just got him last year, and he's incredible. And he loves to help people, and he loves to take care of them. And so when a guest comes over, he wants to take care of them, and he wants to sleep with them, and he is just amazing. Well, one night, I decided, you know, to put him in my bedroom instead of having him go to the guest bedroom so the cats would be more free to visit with the guest, et cetera, for whatever reason. And Pepito really protested, and he said to me, I'm here to take care of people. I'm here to transmit energy to them. When I'm sleeping with them, I'm giving them my gift. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to give you and a lot of other people my gift. And to help them on their journey. And he was very upset that I, you know, closed him off. So I said, oh, I got it, Pepito. I understand. And while I had understood that from his actions before, he made it super clear. And then things changed. He, of course, was very happy to sleep with the person. He stayed in one spot all night. She didn't move. They didn't move. And they just had this incredible time together. And everything was different the next day. There was a different energy. Pepito just felt like, wow, this is the first time in my life that a person has really understood why I'm here. And because I told it to my guest, too, so there's another person who really knows. And he just lightened up, and it's like a total validation. And this happens with animals all the time. You'll see a whole change in their demeanor. They'll become more cooperative. They'll just get brighter. And that's how you tell it's real. Again, just picture this. When you really get when an animal's communicating, just like we love to be understood, we love it when other people really get us. And when they don't, what happens? We get agitated. We maybe don't like the person as well, you know, or we start to withdraw. Well, the animals are the same way. So when you start projecting your own thoughts or you're doing the thinky-thinky, well, according to the animal behaviorist, this is why a dog does this and this. Well, you've just shut out your individual dog there who has their own viewpoint and their own expression and their own particular way of being. And so when you get them, boy, do they like it. And that's how you tell the difference. And a lot of people, when they're first starting to get the difference between their own thoughts and the animals, they'll get signals in their body. Some people will get like a buzzing up and down their spine. I've heard people say that. Or they'll just get this energy flushing through them and their face will turn pink and they'll just go, or their heart, they suddenly feel this like burgeoning, opening feeling in their heart. And then they say, well, that's how I know it's true. You know, because that's when I get it, everything changes for me. It just all drops in. And for me, having done this all my life, I can just feel it. When I'm present and being with them, it's very easy to get their thoughts. I mean, my own thoughts, I've put aside. And if I feel my own thoughts intruding, I just say, fine, and put them aside and listen to the animal. But basically, when you're accustomed to being open and listening, you know you're getting what the animal's saying. And then it's validated by the people. If you tell their people, the animal's people, they go, oh, yeah, he always likes to do that. Or, and then if you're solving a situation and the animal gives you all the clues of what's happening, what they need changed, well, everything changes. So that's the key. And it's really important because you'll have people who just sort of put out their shingle as an animal communicator and they really don't know what they're doing. They're just giving advice. They haven't been trained or hardly trained at all, and they figure, oh, well, this is a nice thing to do. I know a lot about animals. I'll just tell people. I'll just give people advice. So they give people advice, and the miracles don't happen. I mean, the transformations don't happen because it's not the same as relating on a soul-to-soul basis where you are fully grokking, fully understanding, fully getting what another is feeling and thinking. And the animals are very grateful for that.
What you were just saying reminded me of an experience with the companion animal that I was very fortunate to have and to share. His life was an old English sheepdog, and what I gained from being with him was unconditional love. I had never experienced love at that level, and when I got it, I just felt it in every part of my body. It was just amazing. Well, we are going to be taking a break in a moment, and when we come back, I would like to talk with you a little bit about how we choose an animal to be with us, or if the animal chooses us. So we will address that when we return from break.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Hey, we are back. As we went into break, we were talking with Penelope Smith, the author of Animal Talk, Animals in Spirit, When Animals Speak, and the film Wild Animals Speak. And what we had just about started to talk about was, does our companion animal choose us, or do we choose them? Penelope, can you talk a little about that?
Yes. Well, it goes both ways. We are all on a journey together here on Earth. It's a spiritual journey. The foundation of the ability to communicate with animals is recognizing them as fellow beings, as spirits, in different costumes than us. So our dog is wearing a dog costume, and our horse is wearing a horse costume, and we're wearing a human costume, but we are all spiritual travelers traveling on Earth. And we have, and in my experience from communicating with many thousands of humans and other species of many kinds, we travel from life to life. So we have a soul journey where we're learning from our experience on Earth, and we're here to have a lot of different kinds of experiences, a lot of different kinds of adventures, and take it home to the spiritual realm with new understandings after this experience. So many of our animal companions, we look into their eyes, and as you said, Richard, you know, we just get it. We just get that deep, deep, pure love, and that they're taking care of us. And we, in turn, are taking care of them. Now, there are many times where we feel like, I just know this being, whether they're a human being or a dog or a horse or a turtle, whoever it is, we just go, you know, I just, this energy, this feels so familiar. And many times people travel in what I call soul groups, where we go from life to life, and in many of those lifetimes we travel with beings that we have a similar journey to, that we have a similar plan of adventure on our soul journey home. And so many of these beings can appear in animal form. You know, as spirits we can incarnate into whatever is the right form for us to take our next step. That doesn't necessarily mean human. You know, people have this idea that human is the superior species or the dominant species or the best ever. It's different than any other, and so is every other. Each of the experiences are different. So we may have, think that we're going out to just pick a dog, or we're going to pick a cat, Maybe we have an idea what color they are. And if we're just thinking about physical characteristics, even then, often we're just guided to the animal, or the animal leaps up on us out of the litter of kittens or dogs. The animal comes out, or we're walking down the street, and this little kitten comes up to us. Where did the kitten come from? You know, we don't even know. We can't even find anybody who knows this kitten. And the kitten just comes up to us. So they're choosing us. We're choosing them. Our energy is going out to the universe, saying, okay, who is the dog or cat that is meant to be with me on my next step of the journey? Or we don't even think about it. We live in an apartment. They don't even allow dogs and cats. And suddenly this little kitten comes and our whole life changes and we end up moving or, going in a different direction because this kitten came. So often there's a real soul connection. And if people override that, if they still go, well, no, I don't want this one that's coming up to me and being friendly. I want the pretty orange one or one with black stripes. You know, if they override that and reject it, often they'll get into trouble. They won't get along with the animal, or there'll be problems. And it won't be the highest on their spiritual path. It won't be the one that, where the energy was all flowing in the right direction down the river, because they let their mind and superficial human thinking get in the way. But if we just drop in, as we often do with animals, which is why I say it's such an enlightening experience and why you can help people through their animals to realize who they are, because we have this connection with animals that that often surprises people who are not even animal people, that goes into a deep soul space. You'll see a lot of internet stories where people meet an animal and they go, well, I don't know anything about this animal or animals at all. And suddenly the animal is teaching them. And they're learning all kinds of things about who they are. They're learning about compassion. They're learning about kindness. They're learning how to be the best that they can be in this life because they connected to the animal. So it goes both ways, and not people don't always recognize it that way. They say, well, I picked this animal at the shelter. Well, the animal was also picking you, and you may not know it, but he was waiting there, just waiting there for you. And, there's so many examples. I'll give one from my own life. I was guided, I kept getting these images, and usually before an animal comes into my life, I'll get a whole directions, images. Spirit will be showing me, this is the animal that's going to be coming into your life, and they'll give me pictures. And then, eventually, when it's the right timing, they'll say, now go. Go to this shelter, or go to this rescue, or go on the internet, on Craigslist, or whatever, wherever the animal will be, and there they are. There's the image of the animal that was meant to be with me. So this was one of my favorite dogs of all time. I mean, I've loved all my dogs, but there's some that are really outstanding. And my first great love, canine love of my life, was Pasha. And he was an Afghan hound. And it was early in my life when I did not have a lot of financial resources, and I kept getting this picture of this Afghan hound, and I had had a previous Afghan hound that I got from the shelter, and I kept getting this picture, but he was with a breeder, and it was going to cost a lot of money, which I did not have at the time. And I said, Pasha, if you are meant to be with me, I don't think I had his name right then, but it came later when I first met him. But I said, if you're meant to be with me, you're going to have to get yourself in a different situation where I can pick you up without paying that fee. I just, there's no way I can get that kind of money. So then in a few days, I was in Los Angeles at the time. I checked all the many shelters in Los Angeles. There are quite a lot. And only one had... And he had an injury to his foot. And when I went there to the shelter, I looked for the Afghan hound, and he came up to me, and I knew it was him. It fit the exact pictures. And as I was, I told the person that I'm going to adopt this dog, another person who was just looking over the dog said, oh, they got the Afghan. And she was considering adopting him too, but you see, he was meant to be with me. So he, you know, the timing was exactly the right timing. And he had gotten himself, he had escaped from his breeding situation, which he had to get over a very high fence and run for many miles in the desert to get himself picked up by them and get himself in the shelter. So that's how Spirit arranged things, and that's how we pick each other.
Wow. Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful story, and I'm sure our listeners will take that to heart. We're about to go to break, and when we come back from break, Penelope, I'd love to speak with you a little bit about animals in spirit and how we can communicate with animals after they pass.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. You're listening to Beyond Words Radio. Our website is beyondword.com. And today we are talking with Penelope Smith, a world-class animal communicator. And when we were leaving our last conversation and heading into break, we mentioned that we'd like to talk a little bit about communicating with animals after they pass, animals in spirit. Penelope, if you could speak with us a little about that.
Yes, and this is a very important thing for people, because so often people go into tremendous grief when their animal goes, and they feel guilt perhaps about how the animal died, or any of the other things humans can feel guilty about, blaming themselves for not taking care of them well enough, or whatever it is that their thinking is torturing them with. And they can go into deep states of loss, so that I often get people writing to me saying, you know, it's been months or a year, and I still am so in grief about my animal friend dying. And then when they start to realize, perhaps by reading my books, and particularly my book Animals and Spirit, but I talk about it in each of my books, Animal Talk and When Animals Speak, about how we're spiritual beings and we go on, and we can continue to be in contact with each other. In fact, as spirits on our journey, as I mentioned in our last talk, we're on a journey together, and it doesn't really matter whether we're in spirit or we have a body on the earth, we are still on a journey together. And when people first of all realize that the animal goes on, that they are a spiritual being and they go on, oftentimes people can be made aware of their animal friend. Sometimes people will have dreams about their animal friend who has gone on, and that is an indication most of the time that the animal is communicating with you. They can reach you in the dream state because your mind is not busy and you're open. You know, and the dream state is like being in, often being an easier connection with the spiritual realm. So people may have that. But what, in order to get through this tremendous, all this tremendous tumult that people sometimes go through after an animal dies, really it helps greatly to communicate with the animal and know how they are doing. When animals go on, in most cases, because they didn't deny themselves the spirit when they were alive, again, animals have a consciousness of who they are, that they are a spirit in a dog's body. And again, they have different states of awareness, just like humans do, about the spiritual path, and they are doing a journey too, so some are very much more aware than others about who they are, and they're further along on their journey of opening to full consciousness. But still, they have this awareness that they are a spirit. So they may be trying to connect with you, and if you can get yourself quiet and open to them, and really, it doesn't take that much. People think, oh, well, I have to have meditated for 3 years or something before I can get quiet enough. Okay, all it really takes is communicating with your animal, talking to them, just as you did when they were alive, just as if they are there, because they are. They are not there in body, but they're there energetically as a soul. So you can connect with them. Now, sometimes animals are more easily accessible because they're working out things on their path too. But to you, the person that they loved, who they were with, that they just did their journey with, they're generally very, very open to connecting with you. So if you connect and say, well, hello, Charlie, I really just want to know how you're doing. I know that your death was a little bit painful, and I worry about that. And how are you doing now? And suddenly, if they're really open and they really just acknowledge that they are communicating, that they can be open with their friend Charlie, suddenly they get the image of Charlie, who was maybe died very crippled and couldn't walk anymore. He now is racing around in a meadow. He's a dog, and they usually give images of their previous dog body, but generally they'll show themselves younger and racing around, and they do give images of their previous body so you can identify them as spirits. They don't have a body, but they can form any images and any energetic lighter bodies to show you how it is they're experiencing. So they show that they're playing with other dogs, or they're racing in a field, or they're flying in the clouds, and that they love you so much, and you get the feeling, oh, it's such incredible love, and they're sending you their love, and they want you to be happy. And so you, when you're open, you can get that. If you just stay in your own thinking, if you keep recycling your own thoughts, I'm a bad person, they hurt when they were, before they died, I didn't take care of them. If you keep recycling those thoughts, they'll get in the way. You then won't get your connection with Charlie. But if you can just take a deep breath, feel your feet on the ground, and know that Charlie is there, not try, not force it, but just know, just feel, just open to Charlie being there, you will be able to get their communication. And then things change. It doesn't mean that you don't still miss them. It doesn't mean that you won't think of them, of how they used to love their treats, or what beautiful walks you had on the beach, or how you used to go on vacations and camp in the woods with them. It doesn't mean you won't think of those things, but what will happen is, instead of having so much sadness and guilt and a feeling like you can hardly go on or that you're a bad person, those feelings tend to lift, and you feel like, oh, Charlie's happy. I did give him a good life. He is happy, and I can communicate to him. And then you'll feel him in your heart.
Oh, that's so,
they're always in your heart. They're your friends. And you never leave other beings. You know, you think you do, but you don't. Because we're all in this together, and the spirits, there is no separation. So if you recognize yourself as a spirit and your animal friend as a spirit, as an eternal being, you can then have conversations with them whenever you want, or you'll feel them coming in, or you'll feel them over you, sending light to the earth, or they'll be giving you great gifts that now you can receive. So it takes sometimes with people who are not, you know, really caught in their grief and their recycled thinking about themselves. Sometimes it takes the help of a counselor, you know, an animal communicator, to help them get in touch. But I have laid out steps in my book, Animals and Spirit, on how to your animal friend after they have gone on. And I suggest to people that you go there for some guidance, and that just know that love that you have for them is always there, and it will carry on and also lead you to more love in this life.
Thank you so much, Penelope, for sharing that, and I certainly encourage listeners to go to Penelope's website and also to her books, and to start communicating with your companion animals today. Penelope provides steps to do that, and the love that you will feel as you open to that communication is a gift that keeps on giving forever. Thank you again, Penelope, for all the wisdom and insights and thoughts you shared today.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Penelope Smith. And when we finished our last segment before we went to break, I suggested to our listeners to start communicating with their companion animals today. Penelope, can you address that and perhaps talk about some of the steps that one would need to start?
Yes. People often underestimate their ability in this regard. As I said before, when they start recalling how they have received communication, they start to open more to it. But say people aren't aware of it. They just want to start, and they feel like, well, they don't know at all how to get there. Well, the first thing you need to do, and I'd recommend that you sit with an animal friend, and it doesn't have to be your own animal friend. It can be you can be sitting in a park, and there can be a squirrel or a bird passing by or a butterfly or whoever it is, but just to sit quietly and start to get into the practice of sitting quietly with animals and just observing them, being open to them, observing all the things you can about them, letting your own receptivity to them open. So I always advise people to kind of feel your feet on the ground, get yourself very grounded, feel Mother Earth. If you feel the earth beneath your feet and feel your connection to the animal through your feet on the ground, even if you're in a building, it doesn't matter because the earth is underneath there. And you can feel your connection to the earth and then feel your connection to the animal. And then, again, they don't even have to be looking at you. They can just, it depends on the connection. Animals don't always look at you when they're communicating. But say you're sitting there with your little dog and you're in your apartment. Just get real quiet and be with them. Observe everything you can about them. And then start with a very simple question, something like, well, how are you feeling? Can you tell me how you're feeling right now? And then be open to whatever it is that they are communicating to you. So you may get it across as this sense of expansion or the sense of happiness, or they may even shift the subject and go, I'm fine, let's go for a walk, you know, and you suddenly get a picture of you going for the leash and taking them on a walk. Just acknowledge whatever it is that you get. You'll find that it's actually easier than people make it, because most of the things that get in the way for people is they try too hard. It's a very natural ability. We're born with this ability to telepathically communicate, to understand other beings' feelings and thoughts, and it's clamped down for us by our socialization. So as we open to our animal friends, they're a lot easier to open to. We don't have so many barriers, socialized barriers to communicating with animals as we do even with people. So they're very willing to communicate with us. And so accept what you get. And oftentimes people will get a little snippet. They'll get a little tiny bit of a communication. Acknowledge whatever it is. And as you open more, you'll get more. So maybe there's something you always wanted to know from your animal friend. Say you got them from the shelter, and the shelter people didn't really know their history. They were just dropped off. You can ask them about that. Like, is there anything that you want to tell me about your life before we got together? And oftentimes you'll start to get, again, depending on what you're open to, images, or you'll get thoughts that you'll express as words, or you'll it's like hearing them talking, only with your internal senses. You'll hear them telling you about the experience and the feelings that they had. You'll maybe see a family with two kids and that they had to move and they couldn't take the dog with them. You'll suddenly get the distress of the family that they had to leave the dog and they dropped him off at the shelter. And or there's another situation in life where you don't understand why they, even though they've just been out for a walk, why they then go into the corner and pee after you've taken them out for a good walk. And then your dog may start to give you feelings about that, maybe a feeling from their previous life before you got them, their previous before the shelter, the family that they were with, they weren't taken on walks very often, and they often went to the corner. They just felt very secure being in the corner, so they're kind of experiencing the same feelings that they had when they were with the family that couldn't take them out often enough. So they re-experienced that feeling of release, and also that the family didn't mind that the dog chose the corner. So then after you get that, you may get, again, images, and you start to understand them. If you don't cut yourself off, if you continue the openness to the conversation, just like you're talking to another person, you know, if you stay in the openness and really listen and question anything you don't understand, like say, I don't quite understand why, but why did you pick that corner? I don't quite get it. And then the dog gives you this tremendous feeling of security and relief. And also that the people didn't mind that he picked the corner. You get the sense of the people just cleaning it up, but nobody yelling at the dog. You know, as you stay open to it, you suddenly start to get more and more. And then you understand your enemy. You say, I really get that. And when you acknowledge him, say, I really get that, that made you feel very secure. And then you can start to negotiate. You can say, well, I'll tell you what. Let's pick out a corner in the yard, or let's pick out a corner on our walk that we can call the safety corner or the secure corner. And how about if we do it there before we go home every time, you know, the yard or we're on the walk, we always go there, and that will be your safety feeling. You can set up something with the dog, and the dog goes, oh, okay, and you're not mad at me for going in the corner, and, you know, they want some reassurance, and you say, no, I really understand it now. I really see what that was about.
Wow, that is such an insightful example, and to allow people to realize that just sitting quietly, observing, being open, allowing the thoughts to come in, allowing a connection to form, a heart connection or a soul connection, and to learn lessons and acknowledge, these are all important steps. And I'm so grateful, Penelope, that you were able to be our guest today. And I'm sure our listeners are going to gain valuable insights in life for their companion animals and really for all life, and understanding that we are all one and we're all on this journey together.
Thanks for listening to HRNRadio.com.